Morning.
Morning.
We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And this goes along with the last two messages I preached, if anybody remembers what those were. But it's going to be covering a little different subject. So starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto those dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. We would probably say there's different abilities and there's different offices or positions.
Right.
And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now the obvious answer to that is no.
Right.
But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet shall I unto you in a more excellent way. So we're going to be talking this morning about the body and how the body works. The body, the purpose of the body is for spiritual growth and maturity, to perfect you and bring you into the image of God. But I'm going to be talking about how the body works together. The point here is that there be no schism in the body. And I'm going to use the example of the United States. This country, what is the nationality of the people of this nation? Well, in this nation, you have Germans, you had English, French, Italians, Swedes, from all different nations. They came after Columbus discovered America. They came and began settling, and they came from all different countries. Now, that provided a wonderful opportunity, because you have an English farmer, and next door you have a German farmer. And the English farmer notices that the German farmer's corn does pretty good. So he goes and he asks the German farmer, he says, "What do you do that your corn looks so good?" The German farmer says, "Well, it's the way I planted it, how I cultivate it," and explained it to him. Now the English farmer adapts that farming method, obviously, because that's the best way. The German farmer notices that English farmer, he's got some nice sheep. So he says, "What do you do that your sheep look so nice?" And the English farmer explains to him about how he takes care of his sheep. Then these farmers notice one day, there's a Frenchman traveling through. They say, "What? How did he build that wagon? That's a pretty good looking wagon there." So they stop him and they ask him, "How did you build your wagon?" So the Frenchman explained it to him. Okay. Well, one day, the German farmer's going to town and he sees somebody new putting up a house down the road here. So he stops in and looks, "That's a weird looking house. What are they doing here?" So he stops and talks to this man. Well, this man is a Swede. He's just immigrated from Sweden. And he says it's called insulation. "I'm insulating it. It keeps out the cold better, and your house will be warm in the winter." Oh, now that's a wonderful idea. So after a while, you have the Swede, you have the German, you have the French, and you have the English. And they're all Americans, or they're citizens of the United States now. And they all know how to raise corn, they all know how to raise sheep, they all know how to build wagons, and they all know how to build houses. And of course, they got the pizza and spaghetti from the Italians. What's the point? Britain and France were at war for years, decades, centuries. They didn't like each other. So you take these people who would not naturally have been neighbors, and you bring them together out of their separate countries to a new country, and they learn to get along. And they learn to recognize strengths in the other culture. And they adapt that. And you form a new culture, a new society, that has the strong points of all of them. Now this has to be done under a government. There has to be law and order. Otherwise, that Englishman might still have loyalty to his country, and that French might still have loyalty to his country, and they're going to kill each other. That's not going to work. Okay. In a nutshell, that's how the church works. Under the government of church leadership, church rules, and church guidelines, you take people from all different segments of society, you bring them together, and they form a new society. And in that society, the hope is that they will be able to recognize the strong points of the other members and emulate them. Now, there may be differences in background in the way you were taught, and there is differences in physical abilities. Somebody might know how to sing. Somebody might be good at speaking. They might know how to preach. Somebody is good at observing others and seeing where somebody needs help and lend a helping hand. Some people are outgoing and friendly. Great for making strangers feel welcomed and appreciated. Some really got a shrewd eye for seeing traps and seeing trouble that's coming. Some people may not be able to preach, but they can interact good in a more of a teaching type setting. You may have others who are good organizers. You put all these people together, and it can make a wonderful body.
Amen.
The eye sees, the ear hears, the nose smells, and they all work together to protect the body so the body can grow and be healthy. To some extent, you need to try to learn the strength of others.
Right.
But you also need to understand that there are others who will be better at a given thing than you are. We naturally want to think, my ability is the most important. If it's preaching, well, what would a church be without a preacher? Well, who cares about the dishwasher, but we need the preacher. Okay, the body needs every member.
Right.
There are many positions that need filled. There are many tasks that need done. And there's, we can't point and say we need one. And so we focus on all trying to become that. Now, you may find yourself in a situation sometime when there is no one to preach, but there's a sermon that needs preached. So, hopefully, you have learned enough from those who can preach better than you that you can fill in. You may find yourself needing to lead songs sometime. Well, there may be other people who can do it better, but in this situation, there's not. So don't just bank on somebody else doing it because they're better than I am. Mm-hmm. Try to learn to do it yourself. Do it to the best of your ability. If that doesn't go very far, just you did your best. But human nature also wants to compare my strength to his weakness. I am good at this, and he is bad at that. So therefore, you know, he's just not doing very good. And we also want to take different gifts and put a spiritual value on it. To where, if he can't preach, he isn't much of a Christian. Okay, but that's not what the apostle said here in this chapter.
Right.
And there is a difference between having an ability or a gift and being good at it and being spiritually mature. You can be spiritually mature and not know how to lead songs. You can know how to lead songs and not be spiritually mature.
Right.
There's differences here. Right. Now, the church's goal is to make you spiritually mature so you grow. The gifts is just to help the church operate. Because, you know, while you are growing in Christ, you also have to provide a living. While the church is perfecting people, there's things that need to be done in the church. There needs to be preaching and song leading, and the list goes on. Now, I'm going to use the Sunday school memory work as an example. Some people find it easier to memorize and to retain what is memorized. So in the Sunday school, the children have verses to memorize. But there is extra for those who can do more. Now, just because you have an easier time memorizing doesn't mean you can think you're better than the next boy. Okay? Now, what if the next boy is not doing very well because he really doesn't care? Well, that's not for you to decide. That's for the Sunday school teacher to decide. The Sunday school teacher said, okay, he could do better than that, but he's not. We need to get after him. Or the Sunday school teacher can say, I know he's really trying, but, you know, be patient with him. So, that's why there is a minimum set, live up to this, and then there's extra for more. And if we can understand that and not judge and get criticized as others or make ourselves big because I found something I can outdo so-and-so in. Well, if you can outdo him, then outdo him in that. it's something good, it's a spiritual gift, do that. But don't look down on him, because he's not. You know, there was a time I didn't know how to pass out a tract. I mean, what do you say when you offer somebody a tract? Well, there's people here who grew up with it, and it's just natural. So when we go along, hold signs, it's like, you're getting ready to pass out a tract. What do you say? Okay. That's how you do it. Okay, you are supposed to learn these things and grow. Look at others and see what they're doing right and say, well, that's how you do it. Now, you are still going to find that there are people who pass out more tracts and there are people who pass out less. And we don't judge each other based on the number of tracts I passed out this week. Okay? We understand the concept. Now, it is also quite common to think that I have the most important ability, but he's got the most important position. Okay, I'm smarter than he is, but he gets more credit. Anybody ever seen an example of that? All over the place. There are differences of gifts, and there's differences of administration. Just because you think you can preach better than the bishop, he's still the bishop. Amen. Okay? Just because you think the song leader is kind of withdrawn and quiet, he should be more outgoing and friendly, doesn't mean you ought to be the song leader. Okay? That he is given that position for a reason. And because it's to keep order. And because of that, stick with your position and do what is assigned to you to do. I'm going to give you a scenario. It's adapted to my own words, but it's a real life scenario. But let's say you came to church. You're visiting a church. Okay? Never been there before. But you come to visit. And you come in the door. Nobody greets you. You sit down in the back. They start the first song. One leader doesn't know how to lead a song. After the singing, they have Sunday school. Well, the Sunday school teacher, he can tell them good stories, but he's really not interacting with people and not following the lesson very well. Then the preacher gets up to preach, and he's not good at putting a message together. It's just all there is to it. And then after church, you have a meal. After the meal, you sit around and kind of try and visit a little bit. It's kind of awkward. Then you go home. Okay, you see, the person leading singing knew how to preach, but he really didn't know how to lead a song. The person teaching Sunday school was a really outgoing, friendly type of person, but he really wasn't suited for teaching Sunday school. And the person preaching really couldn't preach, but he could lead songs. And afterwards, the outgoing, friendly people who would like to visit with strangers were in the kitchen washing dishes. Now, why is this? Well, it's because the dishwasher got tired of it and thought, you know, after the meal, we come in here and we wash dishes and they got to be out there visiting. Well, there was a reason for that. It's because they were good at visiting. And you were good at washing dishes. Now, somebody needed to wash the dishes. It's not that we don't care about you, so we assign you the dishwashing job. You may come back next Sunday, and you may be greeted at the door, shown where to sit. The song leader might know how to lead songs. There might be a good Sunday school lesson, followed by a good message, and some good visiting afterwards. It just depends how things are arranged. The military understands it. They know that you need tanks, airplanes, and people running around on the ground too. It's not all about the airplane pilot. It's not all about the guy piloting the battleship. There are different roles that need to be filled. And if one role is left unfilled, something goes wrong. You know, if you prepared for a battle and you had too many airplanes and not enough tanks, guess what? They're going to be waiting for you when you land. There needs to be unity. And that can only be accomplished when there is an authority structure. What would happen also if you had a nation where you have ambassadors, you have a Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and you have an issue with a neighboring nation? The ambassador goes out and lays out the conditions, says, you do this or we're going to send the military. And he goes back home and he said, I told him you do this or we're going to send the military. And the Secretary of Defense says, we ain't going in there. What's going to happen? Okay, obviously, there has to be an authority structure. The members have to realize, I can't be jealous of him because he's an ambassador and he gets to go over there and visit around in their capital while we're down here doing the dirty work, planning how we're going to destroy him if they come attack us. We have to understand, as a church, we are a body. We all share responsibility. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. Or if one member is honored, we all rejoice. That's the whole point of this chapter. The point of this chapter isn't to help you figure out what your spiritual gift is. And I'm not going to be dealing with that this morning either.
Right. Amen.
But find what you can do. If you want to know what your spiritual gift is, just ask yourself the question, what can I do? And then do it. If you can wash dishes, we need that done. Now, in verse 22, it says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So, do we think we could do better off without some weaker members? Okay, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, or we take more care of them. Okay, you're recognized by your face. Your face gets a lot of credit, but you put shoes on your feet to protect your feet. You think your feet aren't important, then why do you protect them, but you put your face out there where anything that comes along can hit it? Okay? When you have weak members, or you have struggling members, or you have members who don't seem like they can do a whole lot, it requires more care. You don't say, discard them, you know, you're not very good at visiting, you're not much fun to visit with, so you just get lost. No. They're necessary. They are contributing something to the body. What if they're not? Well, we'll talk about that later. Okay, schism, that there be no schism in the body. Now, a schism here, we're talking about a division.
Right.
Oftentimes, though, the problem, or where schism comes in, is where people are dividing over non-dividing issues.
Yes.
Where I don't like you because of this or that. Let's say the way you eat. I don't like the food you eat. Therefore, I'm not going to associate with you. I'm not going to visit you. I'm not going to invite you over because I don't like you. I don't like what you eat. Okay? The Jews and Gentiles, that was a big issue. Mm-hmm. We're dividing over meat. The Apostle Paul says, for meat, destroy not the body.
Right.
Okay? That's a non-dividing issue. So if you take an issue like that and you divide over it, it's called a schism.
Right.
Now, there are issues that we do need to divide over. But that will be decided by the government, mm-hmm. by the church elders, by the leaders, by the rules and guidelines that the church has laid out. That will determine what's the dividing issue. And it's not up to you to decide that on your own.
Right.
Why? Because you're part of a body. So what if one member hurts the testimony of the church? It hurts the testimony of the church.
Right.
And you are known as a member of the church.
Right.
Therefore, to an extent, it will hurt your testimony. But what if we have members of the church that I would be embarrassed to have my family meet? So, probably we ought to get rid of that member, right? Because he's hurting my testimony. Okay, is he hurting your testimony? Is the problem the church member, or is the problem your family member who's being offended? Again, that's going to be decided by church government, by the elders of the church. Whether what he is doing is damaging the church testimony, and that needs to be changed, or whether you just need to accept this and explain to your family that that's the way our church does it. So, that is, to some extent, the way the church operates. Inside of that, what's my part? First, I have to understand that each person has their strengths and their weaknesses. This is both in a spiritual realm and in the realm of gifts and abilities. Learn from the strengths of others and help them with their weaknesses. Don't pick on them or despise them for their weaknesses. Most people, carnal people anyway, it comes natural, would much rather pick on someone for their weakness than help them with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I think it is because they understand that they have weaknesses too and they don't want help with them, or they don't think they have weaknesses. But learn what you can while you have the opportunity. Learn to grow and do what needs to be done. The Christian attitude, and this applies to both spiritually and in relation to the gifts or abilities, it's learn to give reproof and learn to take reproof. There, okay, if I see a weakness in myself, I naturally want to hide that. I don't want us working on that weakness. People will pretend that they know what they don't know. Why? Because they don't want to be helped to know. They want everybody to think that they knew it all already. But you have to understand, I have weaknesses. I need help. Okay, the eye may think I'm all important because I see everything. Without me, the body wouldn't see. But you don't hear anything. Okay, so the eye needs the ear. You have weaknesses. You need others to help you with.
Right.
That is both in growing spiritually, and that is in the practical, everyday operations in the church. When you see others doing better than you, it should provoke you to try and do better as well.
Amen.
It's seeking the highest standard, not the lowest standard.
Right.
Okay, this is another common problem. Is that when I see somebody behaving worse than I am, I say, oh, so that's acceptable behavior. No, that's not what the body's for. That's not the way you're supposed to operate. But when you see somebody else behaving better and you say, you know, I really think they know how to handle that, then you should say, I should be doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that is in your work ethic, whether that's the way you raise your children, wherever it may be, you're seeking the highest standard, not the lowest.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you are used to doing this in the spiritual realm, you're looking for options to grow. You're not looking for an opportunity to fail. It's not all that difficult in the natural realm. Now again, the point of the chapter isn't to help you find your spiritual gift. It's to help you understand that we all have a role to play and we all need to be doing our part.
Amen.
If I need him and he needs me, how do I relate to him? Keep that in mind when you are relating to him. that he's not disposable. Now, there may be things you cannot do, but let's say preaching. You say, I can't preach. But think about it. What is there that I can do that will free up somebody else that can do that? Oftentimes people think, that needs done, I want to do that. Am I qualified for it? Can I do it? No, not really, but they trample principles trying to do that. Okay, but can you see something that needs done and you do something else so someone else can do that? To keep in mind that seven men were ordained to serve tables so the apostles could continue to preach. Now, was the goal to serve tables? Well, the goal was the preaching. But the serving tables also needed to be done. Mm-hmm. So you think, well, I don't have a very important position. I mean, would anybody notice if I was gone? Well, you better make sure somebody would notice if you're gone. Because if nobody would notice, it means you're not doing anything. Okay? Yeah. But just because you're not preaching doesn't mean you're not doing anything.
Right.
Find what you can do to make it easier for others to do what they need to do. Because when the whole body prospers, we prosper, I prosper, you prosper.
Amen.
It's not you prosper while I fail, or I fail while you prosper. Are all important? Yes. Do all do the same thing? No. Is it important what I'm doing? It's important that I'm working for the good of the body within the proper guidelines. I'm not talking about judging between right and wrong here. We're still talking about spiritual gifts. If I see somebody else doing something that's wrong, it needs corrected. If I see somebody else not doing something that I can do, it means I need to do it. Or I need to help them to understand how to do it. The abilities that God has given you were not given to you just for your benefit.
That's right.
It's for the benefit of the body.
Amen.
Some people may be good at organizing and at business and at making money. That could be a real advantage. You could do a lot for yourself with that. Or you could use that ability to help the body, to forward the program. Okay, you can be an outgoing, friendly type of person. That can really be to your advantage. You can make a lot of friends that way. Or you can use that for the good of the body.
Amen.
Okay, the spiritual gifts aren't given to you just so you could have it nice. Just so you could take it to excess and get what you want. The spiritual gifts are for the benefit of the body. What about members who are not doing what they're supposed to? What about members who aren't living up to their potential? We will talk about that just a little bit. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "And if thy right eye offend thee..." Now remember, the eye is a part of the body. And the eye is necessary. "Pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee..." Now remember, the hand is another part of the body. It's a member that the Apostle Paul here said was important. "Cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good, Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Okay, and again, this has to be done by the proper authorities. It's not for you to decide who needs to be excommunicated, unless you're the bishop. So, who has an extra hand they want amputated? Nobody does. And yet, if that hand became infected, would you amputate it to save the body? Of course you would. Because life with only one hand is better than dying with two. There's a principle there. We understand that. And we need to view excommunication that way. Mm-hmm. There are no extra members. But there comes a time when a member has to go to save the body.
Right.
It is a painful experience. We don't want to have to go through that. Mm-hmm. But it's better than the alternative. The rest of the body will go on. You lose a hand, you move on. Something needs to be done that doesn't get done. We wish you were here. But what about the hand that got amputated? I've met numerous people who only had one hand, but I've never met a hand that had no human. It's gone. It's dead. There's no life. You don't have a hand living all by itself.
Right.
Try to live up to your potential. If you do not strive for the good of the body, for the health of the body, to do what you can for the body, you will become weak and most likely eventually become an infected member.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You are important not just for what you do, but for the potential you have to do.
Right.
Amen.
It may be that there comes a point that the body's better off without you, but they would have been better had you been here doing what you were supposed to.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
That is without question. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Do what is most needed to be done. And don't worry about, you know, if you need to do it, there's nobody else there to do it. Don't worry about whether you do it good enough. Do it the best you can.
Amen.
Be about your Father's business, no matter how small or unimportant it might seem. There have been dishwashers who've left, and we've missed them. And I want to mention a few things that I have observed about how the body doesn't work. It grieves me when I think of them. I turn to Matthew chapter 24. In verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in their due season? He had an obligation there. He had something to do. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Obviously, Jesus is talking to someone in a position of authority that he could beat his fellow servants, but it applies to whatever obligation you have or whatever responsibility. If you begin to misuse or mistreat those who you should be helping, mm-hmm. God's taking record. I knew a young man one time, been a number of years ago. He was a fairly nice young man. But in his past, he had done some pretty bad things. And it seemed his peers just couldn't get over it. They picked on him. You know, one Sunday, something was different. He was never the same after that. The way he come tearing in, someone said, "Is that so-and-so? It's his car." But he seemed bent on destroying his car. Something snapped. Well, it makes me want to cry. You just couldn't let him get past it. I knew another young man. I have no idea why they chose to pick on him. Called him names. They were mean to him. There came a day when he said, "I don't want to be part of that church." And I couldn't honestly say I blamed him. How sad.
Mm-hmm.
You should destroy him for whom Christ died.
Yeah.
But there was another young man they decided not to like. He stuck it out. Eight went on. In the setting he is in, I would say he's doing well. He just didn't let it bother him too much. If we're mistreated, that's our obligation. But for those who didn't stick it out, it's a crying shame. They weren't excommunicated by the bishop. They were put out by their peers.
Mm.
Don't do that.
Yes.
That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Keep that in mind.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Wonderful when someone allows the Holy Spirit to use them to minister to the body. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he mentions some young men but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase in the more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. What is cancer? It's in the body. It's part of the body. They're cells. They are using the nutrients of the body. They're making use of the heart and the lungs and the blood and the tissues. So why aren't they just a part of the body?
They're not working towards the same goal.
Right. They're actually working to destroy the body. Okay, a cancer cell is a cell of my body, but it's working for its own agenda. It's not working for the life of the body. It's parasitic. It's working for a different goal, and it's a very short-sighted goal, because when it kills the body, it kills itself as well. Cancer doesn't live on once the body's dead. Same with the parasite. Okay? Parasites get in worms and you know, whatever it might be, what kind of worm, and it will live off the body. And yet it will kill the body, and when the body dies, it dies. What is leaven? He mentioned being unleavened, the body being unleavened. Leaven is something that gets into the bread And it spreads throughout the bread, becomes a part of the bread. It changes the entire loaf. It alters the consistency of the whole. But it starts out very small. Now, in order to have a healthy body, that which is a fermenting factor, a cancerous factor, an infectious factor, must be eliminated from the body, kept out. The word canker there means a gangrene. And it's amazing how people, you know, gangrene doesn't just live out there on the dirt by itself. Nor does cancer, nor does leaven. Okay, it doesn't just live out there all alone. It's got to be in the body. And there are people who search out bodies not to help it grow and flourish, but actually to be a parasite and divide and destroy. Churches all over have to deal with this, and Satan knows it's part of his agenda. Okay? By sin came death. Well, through sin, Satan is working for the death of the body of Christ and for the death of productivity in the body. A strong body is one that doesn't have the parasites, the cancer, and so forth. Okay? And so, yes, we don't want to lose a member. In the spiritual realm, tares can become wheat. They don't have to be a tare. They choose to be a tare. They don't have to be a cancer. They choose to be a cancer. They don't have to be a parasite. They choose to be a parasite. If a parasite would somehow adopt the goal of the body, you know, you have to have intestinal bugs to live. Okay? There are bugs living in you, and without them, you couldn't digest your food and live. But those bugs are working for you. Okay? Those bugs are working for they have a life, but they also work for your life. Synergism. In a synergistic society, even the bugs out here, they don't know they're pollinating the plants, but it all works together. And when it's all in line with God synergistically, it's a beautiful thing. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing to have to amputate a member of your body. It's a terrible thing to have to cut out a cancer. It's a terrible thing. It hurts the body. It harms the body. Our desire, God's desire, is that everyone in the body, even though you're an individual cell, you have an individual life, and yet, if we all work together to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then we are working together. We are comrades. And God is glorified, and we are healthy, and there's love, and there's interaction. You know, this finger right here, it has to have the blood from the rest of the body to live. But that blood not only brings this finger nutrients, it carries away waste. It carries away that which is not healthy for the finger, and we exhale it, we excrete it. This finger has to have nutrient, and it has to have that which is not good for the finger taken away. But in order to be a part of the body, you've got to submit to both. The blood of the body feeds and it cleanses. It feeds and it cleanses continually. Now, if I decide I don't want that, eventually it'll die. Thank you, Brother Philip. Let's stand together. Anyone have a thought or word to share about the message?